We head now to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Vincent Goodwill, senior NBA writer for Yahoo, and you see him all over the place, FS1. He's one of the best, and he joins me now. Vincent, good morning. Thanks for taking a couple minutes with me. How are you?
Doing well, Jake. How about you?
I'm good, man. It's good to catch up a little bit. It's been an absolutely insane week around the association. I do want to get some Cavs thoughts from you at one point, but we got to start with this mess in Los Angeles. I tried to spend the first segment just going through the last week for the Lakers, and I didn't have time. Like 14 minutes was not enough to dig through it. What do you make of this? And I think one of your most recent tweets, and maybe even a column that you wrote, was that the best way, or really the only way, for them to fix it is for the buses to sell the team. Is that the point we're at, Vinny?
I think most people would take that as like an overstatement, but I think that there are some franchises that belong more to the league than the city itself, that belong to the sports lexicon, like the Boston Celtics, like the New York Yankees, like maybe the New York Giants in the NFL. And I think the Lakers are right there. When we talk about modern sports and modern sports brands, the Lakers are there. And they're not owned by some corporate. The Lakers are the family business. So, you know, there was always this feeling, at least, that the Buss family would do right by the Lakers because they had to do right by themselves. And it seems like they have lost their way in some bit, if you can glean anything, Jake, by the last, what, like you said, not just past week, maybe past 2 months, with some of the nonsense that's been going on over there. And, you know, we got Linda and Kurt Rambis pulling the strings behind the scenes, and Jeannie Buss, who he gave a lot of country to, it doesn't appear that she knows exactly, you know, what she's doing. And yes, they've hired Frank Vogel, but they've also hired Jason Kidd. So what does that mean as far as, you know, the future of the franchise, just from on the floor, let alone off the floor and everything else? I'm very curious about how this is all going to play out, because we can all sort of see the sign. And then, Jake, they have LeBron James on the roster. How does that work?
What's he thinking?
Oh, only God knows that. I think, put it like this, and I've said this before, and I'm not even sure if LeBron was clairvoyant, right, and he knew last June that the next year would look like this, would he still go? And I think the answer is still yes.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not a shot at Cleveland or anything like that. It's just he had other visions that would be aligned with being in Los Angeles as far as having his family there and everything else. I don't know if the Clippers would have been ready for him, you know, in that way. But if you're going to Los Angeles, and if you're the biggest name in basketball, if you're going to Los Angeles, what do you play? You play for the Lakers, and you pray that they get things turned around. I'm very curious to see not only what he's thinking now, but he's being very clear not to exert a certain amount of influence, because he doesn't want to make it seem like he's running the show or trying to run the show. And it's very much clear that he isn't running the show, as Kurt Rambis and Linda Rambis are, you know, influencing Jeannie Buss anyway. So if nothing more.
Vincent Goodwill joins me, senior NBA writer for Yahoo. Yeah, I've made the argument, Vinny, that there were basketball reasons for him to go to Los Angeles. I think it made a lot of us feel better here in Cleveland. Like, well, obviously he just wants to go because he wants, you know, to get the film career jumping and for business opportunities. But the Lakers are the Lakers, like you said. And the idea that they're going to be able to recruit, or I know they missed out last summer, but that they're going to be able to recruit a running mate for him, I think that was probably in the back of his head. Like, he wouldn't have gone to L.A. if he just expected to miss the playoffs for the next four seasons. Obviously, that hasn't come to fruition yet. We do have reports that Kyrie is considering it. I don't think anybody has any sort of a guess of what Kyrie Irving is going to do moment to moment, day to day, let alone a few months from now. But what do you make of the possibility of him joining LeBron in Los Angeles, just as far as likelihood? And then, you know, I think that fixes things a little bit, but does that set up another disaster? I mean, how do you, if they're able to pull that off, does that just smooth everything over?
I don't know if it smooths everything over, because Kyrie appears to be as unpredictable as any modern superstar talent. Maybe not superstar, but superstar talent that we've seen, just because he doesn't appear to know what he wants from minute to minute. I think the thing that he learned this year, and maybe it's probably just a greater appreciation for LeBron James's leadership and his steadiness. Because just because you're a superstar talent doesn't mean that you are fit to lead, doesn't mean that you are fit to be a superstar influence in the locker room. And I don't think Kyrie, whether it's the awareness of it. Maybe he's understood that, you know what, hey, this is a lot different than it seems to be. You know, he always bemoaned not having the level of influence playing on LeBron James's team. I think that was part and parcel with playing on LeBron James's team in LeBron James's city. And I think those two things you have to sort of take into account. And could he play with LeBron on another team that is not in Cleveland? No disrespect to Cleveland, you know, as itself, but Cleveland being LeBron's region, I'm sure there could be a possibility there. I still think that there's a strong possibility that he goes to the Knicks and as the second guy with Kevin Durant, but I think being the second guy is, you know, better suited for him as opposed to, you know, being the franchise leader. And there's nothing wrong with that, honestly. So I'm very curious. I have no idea what he's going to do because I don't think he knows what he's going to do right now compared to what he may know tomorrow, what he may know on Tuesday. And I don't say that to be funny. I say that I think that he changes his mind that much.
No, and the hilarious part is if it happens, people in Cleveland are going to assume that he and LeBron set this up years ago, right? Back in 2017, right. Which is, as we know, Kyrie, he sort of floats with the wind. So I do not think he was planning that long ago. Last thing on Kyrie and LeBron, it occurred to me the other day that one of the things that both those teams, the Celtics and Lakers, have in common is Anthony Davis and trade rumors and a bunch of kids that potentially were going to be dealt for him. And so a lot of the blame gets thrown more so in Boston on the player who was supposed to, you know, get Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and all the kids on the same page. And Kyrie, the leader, took a big hit this year. Well, they were dealing with a whole bunch of other stuff when you're talking about, you know, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and the kids potentially being dealt this summer for Anthony Davis, or in the Lakers' case, in February for Anthony Davis. Shouldn't Danny Ainge and the Lakers front office probably take a little bit of the blame for letting these rumors kind of overtake the locker room? And then, yes, of course, the leaders are supposed to keep everybody on one accord, but I felt like that went underreported. Like, kids are worried about their future. It's not on Kyrie Irving to keep them completely happy. That doesn't absolve Kyrie from playing poorly and the crap he said all throughout the year, but I do think, you know, Danny Ainge kind of got a pass in all this. And the Lakers, you know, the Lakers front office, yeah, they look bad, but people blamed LeBron for what the kids thought.
You know, that there's a word that you just created there. It's called segue. Because I wrote about the Boston disaster after they lost Game 5 to Milwaukee, and I felt like, yes, Kyrie deserved some level of blame as a leader, but he was pretty much a human shield for Brad Stevens and Danny Ainge for allowing the locker room issues to fester, especially centered around, you know, guys who don't have their names on the back of their jerseys, but trade assets for Anthony Davis. You know, basically, that's how they were being treated for the past year.
Right.
You know, all the shadow reports of Danny Ainge telling or not telling the New Orleans Pelicans, hey, don't make that trade with the Lakers because I may have something better for you in the summer when I'm allowed to trade, you know, some of these guys. And I, even though these guys aren't necessarily glued to our reporting, they are glued to the idea of their names being in reports.
Sure.
And I think you are treading a very fine line between asking young guys to go out there and ignore the noise and play for the team and, you know, invest in the Boston Celtics, invest in your teammates, when clearly you're not sure if your bosses are investing in you. How am I supposed to go out there and play and give it my all when I could be headed for parts unknown at the end of the season? I think Danny Ainge and Brad Stevens caught a lot of a free pass because Kyrie Irving was so erratic. And I feel like because, you know, they had a positive track record, Brad Stevens as a coach and, of course, Danny Ainge as an executive, that nobody wanted to call them out. I called them out and said they've created this as much as Kyrie Irving, if not more. And I feel like that they've gotten a large pass, and I don't think it's been fair to those fair in the world of pro sports is kind of, you know, a funny word, but I don't think it was necessarily right to pile on those young players and not spread the blame around evenly.
Very well done. See, we're on the same page. That's why I love having you on. Vincent Goodwill joins me right now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. All right, let's talk about some actual basketball. First off, let me ask you this: Is it an NBA problem that the off season is overshadowing the on season, and that the stuff that you and I love, the rumors and who's going where and all that stuff, is actually a bigger story right now than the basketball? That's kind of an issue, isn't it?
I will say it can kind of distort you know, what has been a pretty decent second round of the NBA playoffs, right? But here's the thing. The Lakers are the biggest brand, maybe the second biggest brand in all of sports. LeBron James is, you know, the biggest athlete, basically, in sports. So when you combine those 2 years, it's going to be a lot of noise. But I beg to differ. Anybody who did not watch Houston and Golden State in that Game 6 on Friday night, like, I don't think any of us were thinking about the Lakers while that game was going on. I think we have a way of making these things mutually exclusive to where we can watch these things and be more be distracted when the time allows us to be distracted. But come 7 o'clock tonight, I think we're all going to be watching Toronto and Philadelphia. And 3:30, we're going to be watching Denver and Portland. We're not going to be thinking about some of these ancillary things. And I just think there's enough room for everything. And I think the league likes the fact that it's a 12-month league now where they don't really go dark until maybe, the middle of August, until maybe the middle of September. So basically an 11-month league where before the league was sort of shut down around July and people probably wouldn't start paying attention until Christmas. Now, you know, you've got to be fully vested for 11 and a half of the 12 months of the season.
Yeah, I think it would have been a worse problem if it was such a foregone conclusion that the Warriors would win the championship again this year. And we have seen them struggle a little bit. I still think they'll win the title, but that's neither here nor there. It has been great basketball. And Portland and Denver, especially for people in Cleveland or people from the Midwest like us, Vincent, it's, you know, they're two teams that maybe we don't get a chance to really dive into a lot. And you had the quadruple overtime game. Obviously, Portland has been a nice story with Damian Lillard and with the OKC series. How do you see that one playing out, and who do you like in Toronto, Philly tonight as well?
I think these two series are really difficult to call because it almost appears as if, especially in the Denver series, like neither team has played its best game yet. They played good games, really good games, and had some sort of a couple lopsided finishes and a couple classic finishes, but neither team has exerted itself on the other, and neither team has been in this position to advance to play what you would say is at least a vulnerable Golden State team without Kevin Durant. Like, put it like this, make no mistake about it, as much as Golden State played well, and they played really well in that one game and one quarter sample size, Portland and Denver see an opportunity in front of them and say, you know what, there's a path to get to the finals. We don't know when KD is coming back, but if we can get ahead, if we can let the adrenaline die down, and we can sort of trap and storm Clay and Steph and get them doubting themselves, we have a real opportunity to make history, to stop this three-peat, and get to the finals where we would have a 50-50 chance against whoever, right? So that's what those teams will be playing under tonight, not just a chance to get to the conference finals, but like you said, it's no longer a foregone conclusion that Golden State wins. So that puts a lot of pressure. I think Denver wins, but I would not be surprised if Damian Lillard had a 40-point game on the road and willed this team to a win. I predicted Portland at the start of the playoffs to get to the Western Conference Finals. And on the East, Jake, I thought Philadelphia was going to go to the Eastern Conference Finals. As I watched this series play out, I just don't trust them. I don't trust Ben Simmons. I don't trust Joel Embiid. I do trust Kawhi Leonard. I don't trust the Raptors, but I do trust Kawhi Leonard. And if that's the case, 50-50 goes to the team at home and the team with the best player. That happens to be the Toronto Raptors. I would not be surprised if the Raptors rolled to a win. Not that I think Philly will lie down, but I think some of those open shots that the Lowrys and Danny Greens and all those guys had and they missed in Game 6, they may make in Game 7, and Kawhi can still have another 30-point game. I just don't know what Joel Embiid or Ben Simmons I'm going to see tonight. The only known commodity from Philadelphia I can think of is Jimmy Butler, and I'm not sure that is going to be enough on the road to put out a Kawhi Leonard-led team.
Yeah, I'm with you, and we don't have enough time for you to weigh in on the stupidity of Brett Brown potentially being fired if they lose tonight, but that's insane. I got a minute left, and I got to get this one out of you.
Yep.
Is the NBA lottery rigged, and why does everybody think the NBA lottery is rigged?
Well, if anybody should not think the NBA lottery is rigged in a negative way, it should be Cleveland Cavaliers fans, because I feel like the lottery has been the Cleveland Cavalier Invitational for the past decade and a half.
Fair. That is fair. But can you at least vouch for the fine people of Ernst & Young and the process with which we go through every
year? Yes. Last year, I've been in the room when it happened. Where it's a very elaborate process, it would be very, very difficult to rig if it's not like they just pull the names out of the hat and everything else. Trust me, it is a very complicated, elongated, and validated process that would basically be a federal crime if the NBA lottery was rigged. Believe me, there would be so many people going to jail, and not jail, going to prison, if that actually happened. Get the conspiracy theories out of your head. Take the tinfoil hats off of your head.
Thank you, Vincent. The great Vincent Goodwill, senior NBA writer for Yahoo Sports, and a great friend. Thanks, Vinny.
Hey, appreciate it, Jake.
All right, later, man. There's Vinny Goodwill. He joins me, as all guests do, on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Good stuff there from Vinny.